Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112. God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley, and he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. God said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Hey, we are winning, and I want to thank you for this amazing start. Tim Todd joined us on Monday, and we determined that he is a seditious smuggler of God's word into the government schools, a legal smuggler, but definitely an act of sedition. And if you didn't hear his appearance, I asked him, when did God touch you with this mission to get God's word into the hands of kids in government schools? He was in Russia. He was handing out Bibles in Russia. And he came back to the States. He was talking with some people, and they said, "Why? You know, it's great you're doing it in Russia. Why aren't you doing it here?" And he said, "Not allowed. We can do it in Russia, but we can't do it here. It's not allowed." And they looked for this loophole. They found it. Kids handing Bibles to kids is perfectly legal. And we work with Truth for Youth, TFY.org. And Tim Todd will get a Bible into the hands of any teen who says, I'll hand it to another teenager. And this is, of course, this is disciple making. It's making disciples who make disciples. He's smart. The Bible itself is a comic. At the beginning, it's not disrespectful in any way, of course. Tim Todd would never do that to the gospel, but it addresses the big issues of today for kids, the lies of transgenderism, same-sex attraction, pornography, cutting. You could think of it more as a graphic novel, really. And then it gets into the New Testament. For many of these kids, it's going to be the first time they see the Word of God. So kids who want to make disciples, hand them off. And there's been 80,000, Tim told me, decisions for Christ based upon this. So this is your chance to smuggle a Bible seditiously and legally into the government schools behind the backs of the bureaucrats who want our kids to hate the Lord, who are teaching them that all religions go to the same place. Just go to tfy.org. If you want a phone, if you're listening live right now, not on podcast live, then call 800-733-4737. That phone number is good, 8 a.m. to 4:30 Central. 800-733-4737 or tfy.org. We're also winning right now, for the first time, the people who have been COVID realists, people, I would count myself as a COVID realist, we're winning a rhetorical war that has been a long time coming. RFK Jr. went on Dana Bash's program on CNN, and he embarrassed her completely. She was revealed for what she is. She's a talking points reader. She still wants to use phrases like, but the experts say. The experts who We're going to talk a great deal about this on Friday. How do you determine the experts? Because during the era of COVID, people would say to me and call in radio, you'll forgive me if I'm not going to take health advice from a talk show host. I choose to trust the scientists. And I would say, which ones? What do you mean? Which scientists? You said you trust the scientists. Which ones? They never had an answer for that. Friday, we'll address this in detail. The experts lost in Dana Bash's form. She was simply quoting them. RFK Jr. embarrassed her on each front. We're winning a rhetorical battle. Tony Fauci lost to Tony Fauci. Senator Rand Paul has pledged that Fauci will face charges for contempt of Congress because he cannot use the Fifth Amendment because he's been given an auto pen pardon. He's at no risk of criminal prosecution. Therefore, the Fifth doesn't apply to him because that's about not incriminating yourself. He can't be incriminated for his actions during the COVID era because a machine called an auto pen gave him a pardon. That should be examined, but the fact is, right now, that's the case. So if Fauci is charged with contempt, it will be because he has obstructed the investigation of the Congress of the United States. He would then presumably be given the choice of coming back and actually testifying this time. And honestly, I said this last week, I don't mean to be conspiratorial. I honestly believe Tony Fauci would have a very unfortunate car accident or choke on something or have a heart attack or suddenly commit suicide if that came to pass, because the people who powered Fauci have so much money and so much to lose from this that I don't think they could let him live. Never, ever forget that the financial system that allowed Bill Gates to make money from a pandemic that was started by a government-created flu, never forget that the financial model for that was built, was constructed, designed, and built by Jeff Epstein. That Jeffrey Epstein. He created the financial model. When he worked with Gates, he was given the assignment, figure out how I can monetize vaccines. And I've quoted the report on that. That's according to multiple media reports. We went through a long Substack on this, a long and detailed Substack in this, that this was based upon emails from Jeffrey Epstein, with the Gates Foundation emails published. And I put that in show notes, and it's linkable, and you can go look at it. So never forget that. So we're winning. We're winning in the schools at TFY.org with Bibles going into the schools. These things are not unconnected. COVID was part spiritual war, too. It was. The World Health Organization pretended we don't have immune systems. The media, like CNN, put scare quotes around the phrase herd immunity, so-called herd immunity. What is herd immunity? It's when multiple people gain an immunity to a disease or a virus. Therefore, a herd of people have immunity. The World Health Organization pretended you couldn't get immunity without vaccines. Liars. We're winning. Let's take a look back at what, to me, some of the things that power me, that drive me to want to continue to go until we get Tony Fauci actually testifying. I already know God's going to have perfect justice. We all know that. Let's take a trip back in history with this audio clip. In February of 2023, a doctor in Oregon refused to help a 5-year-old child with low oxygen levels because he wasn't wearing a mask.
You guys want to get a chest x-ray or get oxygen or go
to the doctor's office?
Yeah.
He just got a chest x-ray.
Yeah.
His oxygen levels are low. We have a nebulizer, we have everything ready to go. We just have to get him home, take care of him, know what's wrong. I had this problem with a child. I'm not putting a mask on a child that has 80 to 82 to 85% oxygen. That is absolutely insane.
All right. Then he's not going back for a chest x-ray.
So you're going to refuse to treat a patient that is prescribed by a doctor over a mask?
Yes.
On a 5-year-old child who has a low oxygen stat?
Yes.
Why?
Because they were following the Oregon Health Authority
requirements. I'm asking a question. There's not even any slight exemptions, medical reasons, anything that anybody could possibly have an issue. There's no little leeway about that.
No.
Yeah. So here's really the funny thing.
So the boy had an oxygen level, as I understand it, in the mid-80s or low-80s. It'd be very difficult to stay alert and to get enough oxygen to the brain. But he wanted to, that so-called doctor wanted to make it harder for the boy to breathe by putting a woke mask on his face. Incidentally, that doctor already had his woke mask on. Tony Fauci wrote this diary that the woke mask didn't do anything. He knew that. His behavior showed that. So continuing here with what was happening in Oregon 2022, this is why I continue to fight this stuff. Second audio clip here. The father was indignant at this so-called doctor's refusal.
So when I go drop 20 grand on a lawyer tomorrow morning and sue the f*** at you and come after you for your license and everything else for refusing service to a child over a mask,
Go ahead and do that. And if you keep up this language, you're going to find yourself trespassed and not able to come on the property.
Why would I want to come here? You don't treat patients anyways.
All right.
You don't take care of children. I'm going to trust you to take care of me?
Let's call it a night then.
Really? So you're going to refuse service to my child for a chest x-ray operated by a doctor over a mask when he has no oxygen level?
You're going to refuse service to your child.
We're not receiving.
You won't put a mask on a kid because it's going to kill him.
It is harmful.
I put a mask on him before and he almost ended up in the emergency room.
Where this comes from calling law enforcement. You want law enforcement.
You're going to call law enforcement on me because I want my child taken care of.
This is how they were treating people because Tony Fauci and Dana Bash had scared people to this point. This is how so many in the medical system chose to act because they'd been deputized by Obamacare. It deputized people to abuse positions like this. This is why I continue to fight on the COVID front. If they did it again, they will do it again. It's so vital that we understand our position. Now, God will have perfect justice, no doubt. We need to forgive. I have tried to forgive Fauci. I pray that I'll continue to do that. There's much I have forgiven in the technocratic medical class. Maybe you're the same, but we should not forget. So back to this conversation. At that point then, security got called.
Are you a parent? Do you care about children? Do you care about kids?
Are you a parent? Do you understand what it's like to watch your kid have this issue? And the last time, and I'm being dead serious with you, the last time that this kid had a mask on him, he almost passed out in the doctor's office.
You are security, okay.
Why would I, as a parent that has gone through this pandemic and gone through the mask rule, and we tried it, and he almost passed out in the doctor's office, his stats dropped.
How about you stand
80.
Up? Can you stand up, Em? Can you stand up for me? Look at him.
So why would I say that it's okay?
Look at, will you look in his eyes, please? Do you care at all about anybody other than...
There's nothing to discuss.
Yes, there is.
Ask or leave. That's the options.
So you're going to refuse service to a kid.
I'm so happy I have this.
Because I'm telling you right now, as an adult, we tried the mask. He almost ended up in this emergency room because of a mask, and the doctor flat out told me he can't wear a mask when he's sick like this because he will end up in the emergency room.
And now you won't help him.
This is all exacerbated by the fact that the so-called doctor, this very pompous, very controlling man who is sitting there, number one, lording his power over others. Number two, abusing the least of these. Number three, propagating a lie, if not telling one, that the masks do anything, was himself completely masked. He was, in his mind, if he believed the mask worked, he was utterly protected. Perfect form of protection, if masks worked. And again, this was in 2022. That so-called doctor would have been able to have the magic shots. He would have been able to been completely then inoculated, 98% safe and effective, as would have everyone at that hospital. Was that about a mask to protect, or was it about what the New England Journal of Medicine called a talisman? I'm not kidding. There was a paper written by the New England Journal of Medicine with something like six authors. It was peer-reviewed. In the paper, they disclosed the fact that masks were of minimal utility, if any, and it was limited to stopping droplets. In other words, spittle. And once the spittle hit the mask, the water in the spittle would evaporate. What was left over? Well, if people had the virus, viral molecules, the openings in masks were 0.1 micron. The size of a viral molecule was 0.01 micron. If I'm doing the math correctly, you could fit 100 viral molecules into one opening in a mask. The New England Journal of Medicine said, but they're a good talisman. What does a talisman mean? It's an object believed to contain magic powers to give people luck, health, or power. That's the word they chose. We'll come back under Disciples View. Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling and a personal tier in just a moment. I know this is, I'm always interested in how controversial the topic of the television series, or I guess Netflix, and now it's an Amazon series. I guess Amazon acquired it in season 6 of The Chosen, of how controversial it is for a lot of people. And particularly on American Family Radio. And I love it. I love that it's controversial. And I don't speak about it to cause controversy. I wanted to tell you why I love that it's controversial. There's a zeal here for the Word of God that just, it fills me with awe and hope and praise for the Lord. People here mean it when they talk about the Word of God and loving it. And I was having a conversation the other day with Matt McLeod. Matt's been on my podcast a couple of times. Matt is the leader of the high school youth group where I serve at our church. Incredible guy, a young man, great leadership skills. He's come up in the church. His family is all involved in church ministry. I think he's the only one who does it vocationally right now. Oh, I think his brother's leading that way. And we were talking about our various forms of Bible study. And I confess to Matt that sometimes I read the Psalms where King David talks about seeking after the word of God like a deer laps after water. And man, I love the days where I've got that need for the word of God and just a burning desire to have it. It's so funny when that happens. It's when I'm having it discussed. I mentioned this before at youth group that I gain more out of the discussions at youth group or the sermons, I should say, than I do the adult sermons. And I want more. I will often, wait, why is the sermon ending? And so Matt and I had this discussion about how he studies the Bible. He does something called question-based. He calls it question-based scripture reading. So as he's reading, he just really opens his mind to questions. And that's really fulfilling to me. He was sharing with me, he's in Matthew, and he was, my wife and I have been memorizing the Beatitudes. We've done that. We've got it memorized. Love the Beatitudes. So many people do. But he asked himself this question. Jesus Christ says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And Matt stopped and said, why hunger and thirst? Why not just yearn? Or hope. And what he'd come to the conclusion as he sat there and questioned this was, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. What happens when we don't get water or food? I mean, 4 days no water, you're dead. You can last longer without food than most people think, probably 30 days. You're dead. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness as if their life depended upon it. For they will be filled. So he has this love of the Word of God. The AFR audience has this love of the Word of God. So consequently, people look at The Chosen and they say it's non-biblical. Some people will say that, therefore, I'm bothered by it. I don't choose to watch. I don't think others should. Others look, take the view of The Chosen and say, well, the producers say it's not biblical. Well, rather, it's not scripture. It is biblical in their eyes, but it's not scripture. It is a dramatic representation of scripture. And they try to have it as biblically based as possible. And they've got this sort of, they've got an editorial council, as I understand it, of people from different denominations of Christianity who contribute to this. There are, of course, Catholics and Lutherans, et cetera, and Presbyterians, and people who are LDS involved in this. And they're all sort of contributing to this. How do we get to the good form of where we can take this into a script and Dallas Jenkins and his team can make this into a script? And maybe it's just the way I learn. When I've watched The Chosen, there have been times where I've been moved to tears. One of them, I just didn't expect. It's the Water to Wine episode that moved me to tears. I didn't expect that. And it was the interaction between the actor who plays Jesus and the actor who plays his mother, Mary. And they're in this hallway. And Jesus says, Mother, my time has not come yet. And then she puts his hand on his cheek and she goes, I know. But they need this. And you can see Jesus, the boy, who's fully man, fully God, not boy, but young man in this, fully man, fully God, making the godly decision to say, okay, my first public miracle is going to be pretty private, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to honor my mother. And there will be people say, wait a minute. You're going to say that a human talked God into something. I'll step back and say, no, I believe God knew that was going to happen. Jesus got to experience what it is to have your mother say, but son, there's a new controversy around The Chosen. My friend David Morenz at protesti.com got in possession of some photos. I can't share them with you. Obviously, it's radio, but I'll disclose what's in them. But I take a different view to this. Of what these people were wearing and some of the things they said on set. I take a different view to this. And maybe, again, it's how I'm wired. So here's the trailer for the sixth season of The Chosen.
My aunt.
Mary trying to comfort Jesus. He's got the crown of thorns and he's bleeding and she has her hand on his cheek and flashing back to Jesus going to the cross. Here they are preparing the crown of thorns, the Roman centurions, remembering when they took him from the garden. And of course the traitor following him. The friends, the apostles are hugging. They're preparing the tools of torture for the Lord Jesus, and he's being tortured and being scourged. And they hammer the nails into him. And all around, people are acting. People who had almost been there, almost
Father,
come to the Lord.
Forgive them.
As he, the Lord says, Father, forgive them. The actress who plays Mary Magdalene is at her knees, and we see blood coming down the cross. I'm crying. I know It's a controversial program. I understand it, and I love it. I love that the AFR audience so loves the Word of God that they're protective. Thank you. We should be offended. We should be hurt when people vandalize the Word of God. And we talk about that a lot during this segment. Some of the profane false teachers, and I think we have another segment on that tomorrow. There's a PCUSA preacher who's announced that when Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he was being abusive. This is the same PCUSA who last year decided it is a sin to go and make disciples. So we talk a lot about false teachers, and we should be hurt when the Word of God is abused. And so I understand people's reticence with The Chosen. And for me, the fact that the actor who plays Jesus is a for real Christian who's seeking the Lord and recognizes he's not a perfect Christian and that he's a new Christian, but it was Christ, he believes, who brought him this role because he was struggling. And then this role just dropped into his lap. And he's agreed to do it throughout the series. And I don't think the series could exist without the way he portrays the Lord Jesus. So for me, I'm good with the show. There's times where the parts of the Bible that's frustrating to me. There's times where they read things into it. I think that they're pretty faithful with Jesus. And then I was on one of my favorite websites, protestia.com. I look at their Twitter channel a lot. And some of the staff, some of the crew of The Chosen who are doing the shootings on set were wearing stickers that said blank ICE, the F word ICE. And they were wearing same-sex attraction rainbows and so-called trans pride flags and things that stands against the Lord Jesus and against the Bible. And Dallas Jenkins had addressed this at one point. He said, when it comes to the personal belief systems, Dallas Jenkins is the producer and writer of the series. When it comes to their personal belief systems or what they want to wear or whatever, we're not going to do what we've seen other people do, where sometimes you'll see a Christian not allowed to wear a hat or express themselves or put a sticker on their desk that expresses their beliefs. And we always think that that's unfortunate when an employer does something like that. We're not going to do the same thing in reverse. This has happened before. There were people who had LGBTQ so-called T flags on their gear, and Dallas Jenkins talked about that. And as I'm looking at this, I guess I take a different approach to this or feel something different. During the shooting of The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's film, there were atheists who came to the Lord. They watched the scenes being filmed. They watched Jim Caviezel do what he did to his body. And if you don't know, Caviezel went through physical torture in the making of that film, and quite purposely so. There's people who told stories of when they filmed the scene of Caviezel on the cross that they themselves felt a shaking, that there were these, as I'm doing this from memory, but wow, there's all these weather events, and truly this was the Son of God, not Caviezel, but the Lord Jesus. There were people who were on that set who were overcome by God the Father calling them to himself. There's some reason you're on this set. You are marching against the Word of God. You celebrate human pride, which is something that the Lord abhors, because what have we to be proud of? We deserve hell. We're only allowed into heaven by the unearned grace of the blood of Jesus Christ because of what he did, what's being depicted in The Chosen and was depicted in The Passion of the Christ. And there were atheists who saw this and they saw what Jesus actually did. It wasn't a simple so-called being nailed to the cross and then dying, not that that's simple, but the torture that he went through and what people were forced to watch and what Jesus said after having been scourged and tortured on that cross, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." So I look at this group of people who are choosing the or helping to film The Chosen, or be grips or gear hands or whatever. And if they're going to be in that scene and they're going to watch this actor portray this, and they're going to watch the scenes where they're portraying the torture and the scourging, the opening up of the back of the Lord Jesus so that you could have seen his ribs. That's what people of the time say was involved in a scourging like this, because Jesus was given enough lashes to kill a man. There was a number that the Romans had determined people could sustain and not die. Jesus was taken right up to that edge, if not over. But of course he didn't die, because he was and is God Almighty. People will have to watch this. My prayer is that later, that they've been programmed to think of themselves as uniquely marginalized, same-sex attracted, gender-defiant people. They're the ones who take the beatings. But I hope that in their quiet time, they might say, did that really happen? Did he really say, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do? Did the world really beat and scourge a man who had done nothing but provide miracles and signs and wonders and healing? And yes, yes, criticism of the technocratic religious authorities who in fact were abusing their authorities, specifically against poor people. And I hope that they might crack a Bible. Did he really say that? And I hope that they might reflect upon the fact that Jesus Christ knows more about marginalization and torture and pain than any of us, because he felt ours. He feels ours. Do you think that Jesus stopped weeping when he left the earth? No, he is our advocate. He battles the accuser, Satan. He's the one who says, Satan, shut up. That's paid in full. My blood paid that price for that sin. It's paid in full. You have no standing in this court. Jesus didn't, quote, just get nailed to a cross. He didn't, quote, just get scourged. He endured all of the wrath that God the Father had built up through all of history for every sin ever committed. He endured God's wrath in cups of wrath for every sin that would be committed, including the sins of opposite sex fornication and adultery and theft and coveting and murder, as well as same-sex activity, which is portrayed in these stickers and patches people were wearing as they helped film The Chosen. I guess I take the approach to this, that this might be one time they got exposed to the ideas and the big sketches of the Word of God. And God's word never returns void. We'll come back on The Disciples' View. Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services out through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performances and guarantee future results. Trek 26-112. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. The personal today, I'm going to share with you something that happened at youth group years ago in relation to reading the Bible with guys. And I'll share this with you from this past week. We were talking about the effort that's being made in schools to equate all faiths to one another. And the government schools are doing this, and it's being done in false teaching churches. We talk about that a lot in the show. But there was a conversation I had with a young man who has had a teacher explain that Christianity, Buddhism, and Islam are all the same thing, just stories told in different forms. So in the case of Jesus, he said, this is the hero's journey, and here's how that story form works. And in the case of Buddha, this is a stranger in a strange land story form, just told in a different way. And in the case of Muhammad in the Quran, he said, it's a form of a hero's journey with a little bit of a difference thrown in, that this is very much focused on the magic elixir. Now, true, there is this story form. Dr. Joseph Campbell described this, these story forms, a hero's journey. There was a time when every Disney movie had to be in the hero's journey story form. And the hero gets a calling. He heads off on this calling. He's going to be stopped by gatekeepers or try to be held back by gatekeepers. He'll meet shapeshifters. Eventually, he will be challenged and he'll go into the darkest cave. And in the darkest cave, he'll have this battle with evil. He'll emerge from that battle with the magic elixir, return to the real world. And here is the magic elixir for the world. Often that involves the death of the hero, and or you think the hero's dead and comes back to life. Now, the hero's journey came from the Bible. It is modeled after the life of Christ. Okay, it wasn't that Jesus said, hey, I'll live the hero's journey. Stranger in a Strange Land is basically fish out of water. And that we experience this in Buddhism because we have all been reincarnated, which doesn't explain why there continue to be more and more people, which is weird, right? And in the case of Muhammad in the false teachings within the Quran, in comparison to the false teachings in Buddhism, it focuses on his time in the cave where a spirit came and said, hey, here's the truth. So that's what this teacher is teaching. So this young man in my youth group said, what do I do? Very simple. Ask him for any and all historical proof that Buddha was divine. Any. Same with Muhammad. Find it. Just one instance. And then take him the writings about the Lord Jesus coming back to life. People who hated the Christian movement, but admitted that, in fact, the tomb was empty. Writing letters to Roman authorities. We need to do something about this. People believe this. People believe they've seen him. Or if you like, go to the historical accounts of Christ on the cross and what happened. And how many people came away from that going, that was the Son of God. There was a full eclipse of the sun when he went up there. People went and left there and said, they just murdered the Son of God. They went to Africa and told, just as people who saw the risen Christ. You know, when Peter gave the first public sermon, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and everybody in the crowd was hearing it in their own language. It wasn't like Peter was speaking 27 tongues. It's that Peter was speaking once, and the Holy Spirit was translating it to people. You could be standing next to someone who doesn't speak your language, and they are understanding the sermon, and you're understanding the sermon, and you're realizing, oh my Lord. People left that and went home and said, he's risen. We all heard this in our own tongues. This is written about. It's not just in the Bible. You can prove these events and never touch the Gospels or prove that people saw these events. Now, the other thing that we can do here, and we encourage you to do, is become a legal but seditious smuggler of God's word into the government schools so that kids can actually get copies of this around the public school officials. They can okay it, but they don't have to. Go to tfy.org and our friend Tim Todd will get a Bible to any teenager who promises to give it to another teen. In the beginning of the book, it's a graphic novel, and it's dealing with God's take on things like pornography usage or cutting yourself. It explains in the book that, by the way, cutting yourself isn't new. This demonic thing of harming your own body and besmirching the design of God, that's not new. It happened in biblical times. Same-sex attraction, the lies of transgenderism, all these things are addressed. Then there's the New Testament. So right now, you can smuggle Bibles into the school legally through kids. So kids hand it to kids. Just go to tfy.org, Truth for Youth, tfy.org, or call 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. If you're listening through podcast, safest just to use the website, tfy.org. We'll get to the Tower Babbling and a personal note here in just a second. A guy who is intermittently sort of conservative and sort of not, but a pretty balanced guy, put his foot in his mouth when he was talking to Bill Maher about some things. Scott Galloway was on Bill Maher's show arguing that everyone should be on a so-called a GLP-1 within 2 years.
Every time we find out something new about GLP-1, it's a positive. They're now saying that it reduces the likelihood of stage one cancer going to metastatic cancer is actually been reduced by 50%. Every time we keep waiting for another shoe to drop, we find out, oh, it's actually a good thing. Everyone at this table is going to be on a GLP-1 within 24
months. But if you live
months.
In Greenville, Mississippi,
that, no, then not everyone at this table.
No.
Absolutely. Found out some other...
Everyone should be.
It's not been around long enough.
So everyone should be, says Scott Galloway, on these GLP-1 weight loss drugs. Here's the next insane statement from Scott Galloway on the FDA's approval of the drugs.
I don't think. What are the?
It's FDA approved. I trust our agency.
Oh, and when did they ever lie? When did they ever get one wrong?
That's true.
So was.
I set myself up for that one. I think when you look at the studies around the upside versus the downside here, it's the most transformative technology in a while.
It is very transformative. It also saps, they have found, people's drive. I mean, your drive to eat, but also like your drive to work. You know, you're kind of like, the companies don't like it because that kind of like eye of the tiger,
right?
That goes away in a lot of people when they take this.
Well, the fear is it doesn't want to make you eat less. It just makes you want less. That's the fear, right?
I don't want to want less.
Fair enough.
I can control my eating without a drug. I mean, you know, where's the psychology?
Yeah, I said 30% of America, Bill.
What?
I think you're blessed with genetics that make it easy for you, and you have the money to eat well. I think there are food deserts.
Okay, but what?
So, lastly, here's Bill Maher expressing how historically obesity wasn't even present in the U.S., and that GLP-1s...
I've shown this picture before of people, right? Like in 1969. I think you take any crowd shot, like them looking at the rocket going up for the moon landing. Look at the crowd. There's no fat people in the crowd. And trust me, cake was delicious in 1969. It was. Somehow they controlled it.
I can tell you biomedically why. It's because food has become pharma, pharma has become food. My wife was kind enough to buy me kidney beans the other night to make chili, quick chili with chicken. Guess I was looking at the calorie count saying, this can't be right. I know the calorie count of kidney beans. Had sugar in it. Second ingredient, beans, then sugar. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. NBC was upset that the invasion of Spain and Huerta, that so-called border crisis, was an issue in the news that Trump seized on.
Many hoping for better opportunities in Europe.
It's been a very tough experience to go from the ocean.
Most coming by land, but others attempting a dangerous journey by sea. This man appears to emerge from the water with a bicycle. At least 57 people have died so far, authorities say, and most of the migrants have already returned home. But the images of chaos have rattled Europe and been seized on by President Trump.
And then same thing's going to happen if the Republicans don't get elected.
Seized on. They were invading. They went in, committed acts of vandalism, broke into people's homes, stole things, and overturned gravestones. But yes, looking for a better life. Second soundbite in today's Tire Babbling. MS Now's Ken Delanian would have you believe that the far-right extremist terrorism is more prevalent than that of far-left extremist terrorism.
And they've gotten rid of a lot of the foremost experts in terrorism, including people that worked on the cases like the classified documents case, because that was a national security case, right? So they've rid the government of fundamental expertise. They've also sort of shifted the focus to this obsession with left-wing terrorism, when actually in recent years, far-right extremists have been a serious threat. And Chris Wray, the former FBI director, used to talk about that all the time. They don't even pay attention to that. That's the far-right extremists are not even mentioned in their counterterrorism strategy.
Well, do we need to say why? Antifa, Black Lives Matter Incorporated, etc., assassination attempts, Hassan Parker, well-known leftist commentator, demanding that people murder U.S. senators and CEOs. Last soundbite in today's Tire Babbling, an insane woman, literally insane. The Democrat frontrunner for governor in Wisconsin, Francesca Hong, has one disagreement with Democrat Socialists of America's policies.
Anything in the DSA platform that you disagree with?
Yes.
Okay, good. What would that be?
Abolishing the Senate. I believe it's nonsensical and non-practical at this time.
So she'll abolish the police, check. Abolish the Pentagon, check. Abolish the border, check, but not the Senate. That's kind of her. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
They're arresting people simply for the offense of being in the country illegally. It's not right, but it's not necessarily something that should cause deportation.
That was the Tower of Babbling on a Disciple's View.
On a personal note, years ago at our youth camp, a young man came to camp. I've gotten to know him. He's a good kid. I consider him a friend. He'd never had a Bible. Never held one in his hands. And so I got him one, because we do that. I mean, we have those available. And I said, hey, do you know how to read the Bible? And he said, no, I guess it's just a book. I said, no, it's not. It's the Word of God. And I want to show you how to read it. So he and I went outside. Other boys were studying inside with my partner, John, who's, by the way, fighting the wildfires here. John's first-year firefighter. He chose a heck of a year to become a first-year firefighter. So we went out, and we read the Bible together. We started in Genesis. And he sat just astounded, quiet. And he's in junior high, ninth grade. And I wrapped that up. I had to get going. And he said, Todd, you know what? Dads should actually read to their kids. Dads should actually read to their kids. I said, buddy, that's a good idea. I think dad should do that. Broke my heart that that's what he said, that that hadn't happened with him. The next day, we were feeling rushed to get the cabin cleaned up because we were going to do inspections and you can win awards and, you know, we don't want a gross cabin. And this young man said to me, wait, Todd, do we still get to read the Bible together? Of course, buddy, we'll make time for that. He'd never had a Bible. You can make sure that fate does not happen to another young man or young woman. You can smuggle a Bible into even the government schools specifically for this. Go to TFY.org. Stands for Truth for Youth, TFY.org, and they will make sure that any teenager who promises to give a Bible to their friends, they will get a Bible. If you want to make it a faster process, you want to get the fulfillment now, just call 800-733-4737 and get a bunch of Bibles ready to go. In the front is a graphic novel, and then it's the New Testament. And I know this because of that young man. He and I become friends. He never really has stopped reading the Bible. Now, I'm someone who's not a big fan of tattoos. I have loved ones who have tattoos. He sent me an image of a tattoo he got. Isaiah 44, verse 11. He wears it on his arm. A boy who'd never held a Bible 3 years ago. Praise God Almighty. TFY.org. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, because we believe we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak again. Yeah, may His peace that surpasses understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.